Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we invite thy presence in the midst of us, O Lord. Come and walk in the midst of us, O Lord. Come and touch us, Lord. We invite thee, O Holy Ghost, enter into the tabernacle of our lives. And Lord, we pray, O Lord, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is all we seek. The presence of God is all we need, our exceedingly great reward. Come, O Lord Jesus. Touch us, O Lord. Soak us, O Lord. Without your presence, O Lord, without your anointing, where we shall be, O Lord. Our God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, Lord, we invite thy teaching, we invite thy outpouring of the Spirit, we invite thy presence, and come and soak us, that we are changing from glory to glory. Help us, Lord, that we hold on to true repentance, that we desire for the perfect submission, O Lord, that we seek, that we search, and that we knock as a bride decketh herself ready, O Lord. We must deny ourselves that we decketh ourselves ready by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we pray that you come and bless the congregation and all the brethren joining from different parts of the world. For we are one congregation, one family, one fold, one bride. And Lord, we also one true living God, our Master, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Holy One and the Mighty One of Israel, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord, we all surrender. We ask for thy blessing to be upon us.
Amen.
For the sweet aroma of thy precious anointing, O Lord, may you come and fill the house
Amen.
With the mighty rushing wind, that we all rest in thy presence.
Amen.
For the peace of God to come upon every
Amen.
One of us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Jeremiah chapter 29. By God's grace, we are learning from the life of the vessel of God, Jeremiah. The 52 chapters are not in the sequence of time, but the 52 chapters are in the sequence of God's promises, are aligned, assembled together as a perfect meal for the children of God to eat and to drink. Chapter 29, may the Lord guide us and speak to us. What is there for the bride to learn? What is there for the bride to be encouraged? What is there for the bride to be pruned? What is there for the bride to be blessed, chastened, purged, washed, sanctified? Whatever it takes, what is there for the perfection of the bride must be the desire when we open the scripture. Amen? Because our grace is coming to an end. The Lord who is seated in the throne of grace, he is not going to be in the same throne forever. He must sit on the throne of judgment. For that, he must stand up. When he stand up, our grace is over. Why? He has set his eyes on Israel. So now, why we are meditating in the book of Jeremiah is because if the Lord allow the entire kingdom of Israel and Judah to go on a journey of persecution, captivity, not just 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, 50 years, no, hundreds of years he threw them into captivity. Because they understood the law of Moses, they understood all the books of Moses, they walked with Moses, they walked with Jesus, they have seen all the prophets, they have seen all the miracles, but yet, they forsook the Lord. But yet, they forgot the Lord. But yet, they worshipped other gods. But yet, they chose to be proud, chose to be confident, chose to be overly righteous. And the Lord wanted to teach a lesson, not to the Jews, to the Gentiles. If I do this for them, how much more so I shall do it for you. So what is the difference for us? We believe the Lord has resurrected. We receive the power of Holy Ghost. We are not like them. We have the revelation. We have the truth. They don't know anything. They don't even know who is Jesus Christ. They think he's just a prophet. They don't know that he is
the one true living God. They don't know that He is the complete manifestation of God's word. These sort of thoughts have been increasing, growing for the last 2,000 years in the midst of Gentiles, because we know something that they don't know. And because we see them still sacrificing, still in the times of Old Testament, we feel to show mercy upon them. Oh, mercy upon Israel. Oh, I pray for the peace of Israel. That is not a message for us. The message is that woman who was asking Jesus Christ, I understand that you are going to give the bread to Israel. You came for the lost sheep of Israel. But can you throw the breadcrumbs to the dogs? She humbled herself to the ground to receive the piece of meal from her groom, from the master. And he said, there is no other faith I have seen than this woman at that point of time, to teach a lesson to around people around. And now, the Lord is preparing the bride. The Lord is uniting all the churches. Because the church is not our calling, becoming the bride is our calling. Amen? Being perfect as the bride is our calling. Everything that comes with tradition, system, principalities is not going to enter the promised land. That is what happened to kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Because they were not kingdoms in wilderness. They were sojourners by the Lord's leading. But they were wanderers, those who thought the Lord is not leading them. So, when the sojourners become a kingdom, they started worshipping kingdoms. King, chief captains, armies, generals, horse gate, east gate. They felt so entitled as if the heaven came to earth. Then the Lord confounded them by the very same confidence that they embraced. Amen? Now what is the kingdom to us? We are not the kings. According to the worldly tradition, the ministries of God are not the kingdoms. But if you look deeply, every single ministry can behave like an empire, can behave like a kingdom. Oh, I am the king. The one who leads the ministry may feel that I am the king. Oh, I set people who are chief captains. Let's expand our kingdom. Let's expand our empire. That is what happening in the last 2,000 years. Don't you see? That is exactly what happening. What happened in the kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah. It is happening spiritually in a subtle manner to all the ministries, sheepfolds of God Almighty. But people don't see that. Why? We think that we have revelation. We have doctrines. The very same strength, the very same confidence will be the very same reason that we fall from grace and embrace disgrace. That is the warning of Book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah was not bound to Old Testament. Book of Jeremiah is still being fulfilled. Amen? It is still being fulfilled, which means everything that God created, the Bible says, may perish. Because He created for His own work and pleasure, for His own way of testing His children. But the only thing that does not perish is He Himself. Thou remainest. The Bible says everything will perish, but He will remain. Because He is who He is. He was who He was. He is who is to come. The Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. Which means the only way for all of us to live with Him forever is to be inside of Him. And for Him to be inside of us. Because everything He created, He can destroy. The Bible says, heavens and earth may perish, but the word of the Lord, never. And that word of the Lord is the only hope, is the only calling that the bride must be clothed by the word. Amen. The bride cannot be clothed by whatever the Lord has presented to us. Imagine if the church is like a camel, that we are riding on the camel, like Rebecca. Rebecca cannot carry the camel to go and see Isaac. Whatever the instruments, whatever the chariots, whatever the means of the Lord's way of working, kingdoms, vineyards, sheepfolds, you can call whatever it is, that cannot enter the kingdom of God because it has no life. Amen? Any structure, any principality, any hierarchy, any system has no life. But it is the people of God, children of God, the bride of Jesus Christ is what the Lord is looking at. Amen? We must come out of all the shell. We must come out of every stronghold. And we should go and present ourselves as a beautiful creation of Him. Now, Jeremiah 29, it cut across the entire book into two. That's why today I wanted to start from 29. And I want all of us to remember what I said. The Lord, He dealt with Aaron, the high priest. The Lord, He dealt with John the Baptist. The Lord dealt with Peter. When I said dealt with, He remained as the righteous God who He is. And He let things happen in His righteousness while He was showing love and mercy. No, He was granting His joy and peace. But His righteousness is unwavering from Genesis to Revelation. Amen? Righteousness is what our goal, is what our hunger and thirst should be. Lord, I want Your righteousness. I want to embrace Your righteousness. I don't want to lose it. Amen? I don't want to lose the girdle. I don't want to lose the belt of truth. I don't want to lose my shield of righteousness. I don't want to lose what it takes for me to keep it. Now, let's read from Jeremiah 29. Do not read this for Jews. Do not read this for Kingdom of Judah. Do not read this for Kingdom of Israel. Read it for the Gentiles. Because for them, there was a king of Babylon. For us, there is a great whore Babylon in the Revelation, book of Revelation. No different. It is spiritual, that is physical. So, Old Testament is a type of physical things that can lead to what's going to be fulfilled in the end of days in terms of spiritual things. The word Babylon, it is in book of Revelation. So, let us learn and see things from the present established truth. Now, we are the kingdom of God. Amen? The Lord has called all of us kings, saints. Oh, my priest, royal priesthood, holy nation. Amen? Holy nation. So, let's all read as a holy nation what the Lord is teaching us. Jeremiah 29, verse 1. May the name of the Lord be glorified in our midst. Amen. Verse 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, unto the priests, unto the prophets, unto all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, it is a letter sent by Jeremiah because he has that power, authority, because the Lord has ordained him, the Lord has anointed him, he can send the letter because the letter is written by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, because I believe we all could see he is going to write the prophecy that he had received. Amen? He is not going to write his own opinions. The prophet of God has no opinions. The prophet of God has nothing but submission. Amen? Why? God is speaking. If you are speaking, you are not a prophet. You are a person. A prophet of God has absolutely no choice. Nothing but obedience and submission. So who is speaking? God is speaking. Who is sending the letter? God is sending the letter. There is one who was also sending letters. His name was Apostle Paul. So what? The man Paul was sending? No. The Lord was sending the letter through his vessel, whose name was Saul. In the same manner, Jeremiah sending letter. Now let us look at the letter, because the whole Bible is a love letter from God Almighty to us. Amen. Verse 2. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. Usually, the Bible do not address the queen of the king of Judah. Usually, the Bible only address about the king of Judah and the father. But if at all the queen is mentioned, which means she had an influence over the king, like Queen Jezebel, like Queen Athaliah, like Herodias. So, the king Jeconiah was influenced by something, and every influence will be addressed in the scripture. We will go and unfold it. Verse 3, by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. So, Jeremiah has put names attention to. He is sending letter and he is addressing the letter to a specific set of people. Verse 4 is what the letter says, and you could see it's a prophecy. Why? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused. Which means the Lord says, it is me who is behind all of this. He hath not done anything that he hath not purposed. Amen. Now, caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Lord, this is not the promised land. He said the same thing when he sent them to promised land. Do you remember? Joshua divided the land for the people of Israel. He told them, go and build your houses, plant, you know, gardens. Be fruitful, multiply, enjoy the milk and honey. That is the promised land. But Babylon is not the promised land. Then why God is saying, build your houses, plant the gardens, and be fruitful? Why? Verse 6, take ye wives. He wanted them to multiply, even in the captivity. He wanted them to be fruitful, even in the captivity. He says, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What the Lord says, I'm sending you to captivity. The king of Judah will be changed to king of Babylon. You obey him. Whatever he says, you obey him. Be increased. Be not diminished. The Lord says, I will never destroy you completely. I will always leave something out. Remnant. Residue. For him to start all over again. He just needed Noah. Do you realize? The Lord just needed Noah to repopulate the earth after the flood. Just one man. And the Lord needed Abraham, just one man, to bring forth Isaac. That's all. And God Almighty, all he needed for that one atonement, one sacrifice, he gave his only son. One. Now, he says in verse 7, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. The Lord talks about peace of the city, not the peace of God. Why? Apostle Paul says, to win a Jew, I'll be a Jew. To go and preach the gospel to a weak, I'll be a weak. I won't be a strong person. Because Apostle Paul says, I will go down, go up, whatever it takes to serve the Lord, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Apostle Paul says, as David said, right, I will be even more indignified than this. Oh, you feel very shameful that I'm your husband? This is nothing. I'm willing to go to any extreme level of shame for the name of the Lord. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. David said, the whole world may put to shame, I will sin still dance to the Lord Almighty. That's exactly the Lord says. Make sure you know how to be wise as serpents. The word serpent means evil to all of us in flesh. Now the book of Psalms says, be wise as serpents. Know thyself. Where the Lord placed you, how you will escape from all the problems around you, the Lord has given the wisdom. People were looking for stones to kill Jesus on the spot. What the Lord did? Brought fire from heaven, made all of them to go blind. He escaped from them. He was not being a superhero. He escaped from them. He simply passed through the crowd and escaped. Why? It was not his time. And the Lord says, Israel, don't be superheroes in the land of captivity. They will destroy you. Because the Lord did not give them the strength. He only granted them commandments, instruction for them to obey. So what the Lord said? Seek for the peace of the city that you die not. Amen? In the land of Egypt, people were thrown into captivity, right? The Pharaoh says, I will give you one meal a day. Do all the work. He was keep on increasing burdens. If the people of Israel, all of them together says, if I perish, I perish. I'm not going to do the work, kill all of us. If the entire multitude was killed, if Moses come, he would only see tombs. No people of Israel. No. When the Lord allow you to go through the darkest moment of life, you bow your head, think about the Lord, believe, if this could happen to David, if this could happen to people of Israel, who am I? if it could happen to Jesus Christ, who am I? Just obey. So that is what the Lord was teaching the people of Israel. He said, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. Just do what I say. Look at the next verse. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. The Lord was not warning them about Babylonians. The Lord was not warning them about Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord was not warning them about the Chaldeans. The Lord was warning them, be careful of the people whom belong to you. Isn't it? Because the Lord says people will go crazy when emotions take over. When they move from promised land to captivity, everybody will feel the Lord is going to do something, say something. In that illusion, in that unquenchable hunger and thirst for the Lord's answer, you will create thoughts. And the Lord says, this is the warning that I am setting for you. That was the reason he threw them into captivity. Now, God of Israel, who threw Israel to Babylon, he is telling them, do not be scared of Babylonians, but be scared of thyself. Why? In verse 7, now we complete the verse completely. He says, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. So don't do it in your own accord. Pray to me. I will guide you. I will give you the discernment. He says, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How can a city of peace can become God of peace? How can I get the peace from city that can become the peace from God? The Lord says, I am able. Don't you realize we can even be at peace even in our deathbed? What is captivity? It is nothing. Do you really think Stephen was not at peace when he was stoned to death? He was at absolute perfect peace when he was stoned to death. That is why he could lift up his hands. He could see Jesus Christ standing, not sitting. The Bible says the Son of Man standing, in the cloud. He saw him. Why? He was at peace. The Lord wanted John the Baptist to embrace peace before his head was cut off. So he sent him the word. The word granted him peace. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. John the Baptist received peace. Then he was willing to be sacrificed. Peter was so much confident. The Lord had to allow him to deny himself 3 times. So that he could uncover Peter to Peter. Hello Peter, this is Peter. Then that denial brought Peter to the ground. He could not escape from that humility. He was humble for our life. He was silent for life. He was a mighty apostle of God, served him with every single drop of his blood, and they killed him. Now, the first 9 verses of chapter 29 starts with the Lord's plan of Babylon, but ends with the Lord's warning of prophets and diviners who will arise in your midst. You know what the gardeners will do? They will sow everything and you will wait. Why? In the beginning, everything will look green. You cannot see what is wheat, what is tare. The gardener will wait. Not because he do not know, but because he wants to give grace. Maybe a wheat becomes a tare becomes a wheat. No, he waits to see everybody influence one another, to be tossed and thrown. When the harvest comes, the moment the Lord decides wheat and tare, then that's it. He won't change his decision. The moment Jacob decides whom he is going to bless, no one can influence him. The moment Isaac decides which son to bless in which order, no one can change him, because the Lord has decided there is no undo, there is no redo. It is done. Now the Lord is warning the people of Israel, they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them. I am telling you beforehand, I have told you, don't come and complain to me. Why? That is what going to happen for the next 23 chapters, my brethren. Left to the right, Everywhere people will arise and tell the kingdom of Israel, this is what the Lord is going to do. That is what the Lord told me. That is what the Lord is going to perform. And Jeremiah was the only vessel stood as that contrite spirit, broken heart, for God to speak the truth. Now, verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, then after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform a good word toward you in causing you to turn to this place. I will bring you back. But 70 years you will be there. If the Lord has spoken, there is no change. He says, I will visit you. Joseph says, surely the Lord will visit you. Now we understand why. Because Joseph said, the Lord will visit you. What does it mean? Imagine you go to someone's house. There are people in the same family. You go and tell one person to say, oh, this family member will visit you. You will be laughing. He's already there in the house. What do you mean by he will visit me? I'm seeing him already. If Joseph says the Lord will visit you, it means you are going to live a life to the point whereby you will turn away from God and you will go deep down into a valley. Then in his everlasting mercy, the Lord will come and visit you. Why? You left him. He did not leave you. Because he promised to Joshua, Abraham, Moses, the Lord of Israel, he never forsake us nor leave us. If he said, it is done. Now, I want to start from verse 15. The Lord is unfolding what he is doing in the midst of them. Verse 15, because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David. He did not even want to mention the name of the king. That is how bad the kings of Judah at that time. Because Josiah is gone, now there are different kings. He always wanted to identify himself with King David, because David, the man after his own heart. Amen. Verse 16, he says, David, and of all the people that dwelleth in the city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity yet. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them sword, the famine, the pestilence, and will make them like wild figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. The Lord is not talking about Babylon. The Lord is not talking about Gentiles. He is not talking about Chaldeans. He is talking about his very own people. He says, verse 18, and I will persecute them with the sword, the famine, and pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and an hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. He did what he said. Very painful to see, but there is a purpose for that. In everything that the Lord does, there is always life. Amen. He's all about salvation, because in this scripture, he is the savior, not the destroyer. Verse 19, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early, sending them. I was sending them early, so that there was no delay. I was always on time. The Lord was telling about his grace. He says, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Now, let's stop here and bring what we learned from last Sunday. Why I brought five senses as an example, an inspiration. The Lord was keep on telling, you did not hear my words. You could not see my will. You could not understand who is my servant. You could not even discern who is led by my spirit and who is not, because you were deceived by fair words, sweet words, delicate words, sugar-coated words, because you are lusting after flesh. So the Lord is reminding them what happened to your spiritual senses. What happened to your head that is supposed to bow, but became stiff. When the spiritual senses are gone from your head, our neck will become stiff, won't bend for anything. Because we think, I'm right. I was right. I will be right forever. Whatever I believe is right. There is no way it could be wrong. That is a fear of submission. Fear of understanding. Because we don't want to lose. You see, nobody wants to lose. not losing in the battle, losing in the life, losing in the health. No, people do not want to lose face. The face value has become more and more precious in the times we live, and that answers so many things about why the Lord placed all the senses on our face. Vision, hearing, speaking, breathing, eating, thinking, processing, analyzing, perceiving, cunning plans, blessed plans, whatever, everything is here. But the heart does not listen to you. It's beating. Whether you are the master or not, it does not care. It beats. Which means if the heart stops, I die. So this heart is my master. If the heart stops, I'm brain dead. Correct? The life is here, not here. But for the world, life is here, not here. Why? Nobody can see the heart. But you can see my cute, handsome, smart face. Face value. The spiritual senses are sold for 30 pieces of shekel of face value. The spiritual senses, the birthright was sold to the one piece of morsel of the face value. What Esau did, what Judas did, everybody is doing in the time that we live. Why? The face of Christ is misunderstood for the face of Christ. Brother, you're repeating the same thing. The word Christ doesn't mean it is Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed. That's it. Which anointed you're referring to? Antichrist or Jesus Christ? The Bible says, try every spirit. Do not trust everything. Test and try. Because the Lord has given you the discernment. Now, nobody could believe Jeremiah because Jeremiah was an outcast. There was no sweet words coming from his mouth because the Lord was not playing with them. The Lord was very much sincere about, serious about saving them. Now the Bible talks about in 29 about what the plan of the Lord and the warning of the Lord. Now I'm going to show you how it unfolded. Now let's turn our Bibles to chapter 27, two chapters before. 27, book of Jeremiah. Please be prepared with the five senses. I will request when the time comes. Chapter 27, verse 1. Now, do you remember when Paul and Silas were in prison? They were, seated. Everyone who loved Paul and Silas, all the other apostles, disciples, followers of Christ, they were praying, fasting for them to be delivered. The Bible says when others prayed for Paul and Silas, the prison doors were opened. Not just that, the bands were loosened. Not just that, the foundations of the prison were shaken. Not just that, the prison keeper was about to kill himself. That was the message. Everything else doesn't profit anything. The prison keeper was about to kill himself thinking that they escaped. Because he saw the doors open, that's it, man. That's it. No, my supervisor, not just fired, he's going to kill me. So he decided to kill himself. Then Paul and Silas, they made a voice from the prison, hey, we are still inside, don't worry. We are here because of you. We are here for you. Every other grandeur, miracles means nothing if there was no salvation taking place. Amen? People are confounded in, oh, prison door shaking, powerful prayer, anointed prayer. But if the soul is not saved, it's just a sounding brass. No profit. Paul and Silas, they went in agreement to redeem a soul from there, to teach a lesson that they are not scared of death. And the Lord is able to deliver it, but yet they submitted. There is no power over the power of Holy Ghost, amen, until the submission is the instruction from God Almighty. So they saved the prison keeper. That means the bands are loosened is a spiritual prefiguration of salvation of someone whose lack of understanding, fear of death, everything is loosened. He becomes a new man. Now remember the yoke and band because it all started from here. The very first prisoner whose bands and yoke were loosened was Jeremiah. Chapter 27, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck. So I was terribly wrong in giving a title for the sermon, loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. That's what Jeremiah said. Correct? I didn't say that. So I trusted him. I put this as a title for a sermon few months ago. But now Jeremiah says, I will make my own yoke. I will make my own bond. And I'll just put on my neck and everything. You said something, you do something. No, the difference is, this yoke is from God. This bond is from God. Whereas that yoke is from daughter of Zion. That bond is from daughter of Zion. And the Lord says, loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, from the yoke of thy neck, because I did not put it. But for Jeremiah, verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. Who is Zedekiah? The very last king of Judah. And command them. He's a prophet. He's commanding the kings. You will be killed, man. The Lord says, he is the king of kings. It is not Jeremiah who is speaking. The king of kings is speaking. Command them. Don't plead with them. Don't give them a choice. Don't request them. Command them. That is why they hated him. They thought, who is he to command us? But they didn't see God Almighty behind him. Amen. Command them and to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters. Which means the Lord says, I am not your master. That's why I'm angry. See, we can say Jesus Christ is my Lord. But is he your master of your soul, spirit, body? That's a different thing. Whether you say it or not, he is the Lord. But I must accept him as my master of my soul, my life, my spirit, my body, my mind, my purpose of life. That is having him as my master. If I change my master, then I don't serve him. I serve my own. I serve the world. And the Lord says, I'm addressing to those gods, masters, who replace me in your life. Verse 5, I have made the earth. They did not make it, okay? And the man and the beast, they did not make, okay? That are upon the ground, by the great power, and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. I shew mercy to whom I want. Your masters, do they have the power? Can they make a little mosquito? They can't. The Lord was trying to bring understanding to them. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. So the Lord says, it is I who decide who will rule my creation. And the Lord says, I decided it is going to be Nebuchadnezzar, not Zedekiah, not the kings of Judah. Verse 7 says, and all the nations shall serve him, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. Which means the Lord says there is a judgment reserved for that land also. But until the land time comes, they will rule you. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. Now look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord. With the sword, famine, pestilence, I have consumed them by his hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is why 29, the chapter, talks about what we are reading in 27. But here, we are starting from the king Jehoiakim, and ends with the king Zedekiah. Now the Lord has given a very straightforward command to the people of Israel. The nation that does not serve Nebuchadnezzar will be destroyed by me, because Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. Poor Nebuchadnezzar. He do not know any doctrines. He is not a preacher or apostle or evangelist or teacher or prophet or any of the calling that we know from the scripture. He is just a Gentile king, but the Lord was identifying himself with him. Now, people are confounded by God himself because he's speaking the truth, but they could not understand the truth because they were looking for something else. They were desiring after something, their own expectations. When own expectations becomes an ambition, God's will not be seen. God's word cannot be heard. God's voice can't be, you know, understood. Why? Our expectations will take us away from the presence of God. Now, verse 9, the Lord is giving the perfect warning. Do not listen to the diviners is the message of verse 9. He says, therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, your prophets, not my prophets. You see how he speaks? Not to your diviners, because I don't divide you. Your diviners, the way he divides is beautiful. Nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, we speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Oh, my people of God, the Lord is righteous, God is with us. The same God of Moses, same God of Abraham, Isaac, he's with us now. Don't worry, we will not be delivered into hands of Babylon. That is not God's will. Emotionally, they were influenced. It is not possible. And the Lord let them be uncovered by themselves. He took his hands off. And he said, and they said exactly the same what he said. The Lord shall deliver you from Babylon, and you shall not serve the king of Babylon, is what the Lord wants. Verse 10, they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, that ye should perish. The Lord says, this all will happen if you don't listen to me. Now the question is, if it all happened, to whom he was speaking? To the residue, to the remnant. He gave this to all. Many are called, few are chosen. Many were that listened, but few received it. Many heard, but few obeyed and did. And those few are called the remnants of Judah. That is exactly will happen to bride, the wise virgin. The wise virgins are like a type of remnants of Judah in the Old Testament, correct? The Lord gave the calling to everyone, but not everyone could hear, because they had their own selfishness in their hearts. Only those who have received agape, sacrificial, unconditional, complete submission to God Almighty, they could see what the Lord was doing. In death, there is life. Amen? When you are willing to perish, then there is life. The Lord would not trust you until you reveal yourself when the Lord pushed you to the edge of the cliff. He did not say, Abraham, stop, until Abraham stretched his hand about to kill Isaac. Abraham was not thinking, I'm going to stretch, I will do it slowly, waiting for God to tell us. No, Abraham was ready. He was well prepared to offer sacrifice. But he believed one thing, I'm a creation. He is a creator. He is able. The Lord would never wish evil for me. He was believing in that good thought. He stretched his arm to kill his son. The Lord said, stop. But until he stretched the arm, God did not say anything. He wanted to see the submission of flesh to spirit. Amen? Until then, the Lord did not bless him. Now look at this. That's what happens here. Verse 11. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. But the gospel says, don't serve the world. Do not serve the kingdom of the world. Don't serve the king of principality and power. That is New Testament, right? Then how would you discern between these two? Because both are same. Both the commandments look same, but on one side God says, do it. On the other side, God says, thou shalt not do it. So the Christianity of the world is confounded by thou shalt do it, thou shalt not do it. Or driving license book. The Bible has similar examples, one that God blessed, one that God cursed. Absolutely identical. You cannot predict him. The leading of the Holy Spirit is not a pattern of the Bible. Amen? Why? People cannot predict God. With some 66 books, can we predict God? The Bible says the whole earth could not contain the books that is written about him. The word. The word itself, you can't write books about him. That is how great he is. So, the Lord says, serve the king of Babylon and you will live. Very difficult for the flesh to receive. But those who are led by the Spirit of God, they would understand. Apostle Paul must go to Jerusalem to suffer. Those who loved Apostle Paul told him, don't go. We don't want you to suffer. God won't let you to suffer. A Stephen stoned to death. Jesus was crucified. Many people were killed in a tragic manner. They could not see. Why? Emotions took over. Your senses will take over. When agape is misplaced by emotions. Feelings, when the feelings of the free will replaces the blessings of perfect will, that's it. Everything that you see, you will feel God is with me. Everything that you do, you will see God is telling me to do this. Everything that you will hear from God. But which God? There are so many gods. Amen? There are so many gods, the Bible says. Why? God means the one whom you believe, whom you trust. It could be you yourself. Now, here, the Lord talks about his divine plan. But before I talk about Zedekiah, we are going to focus on the last king by God's grace today. Now I want us to stop from the book of Jeremiah and let's go back to the census. Why? Before we continue, we must understand what is the definition of census in the scripture. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrew chapter 5 verse 11 to 14. Please get ready with the census. Hebrew chapter 5 verse 11 to 14. Chapter 5 verse 11 to 14.
Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
God bless you, brother. Please be seated. Senses exercised. But for us, exercise your faith is our favorite verse. Oh, I can't simply believe, but I must exercise, right? But why book of Hebrews talks about have the senses exercised to discern good and evil. Good and evil, tree of knowledge, tree of life, good and evil, rinseable about book of Genesis. The Lord says, I'm not going to spoon feed you, but I'm giving you the discernment. You show me that you are my creation. You show me that you seek my face. The more we spend in the presence of God, you will have the discernment of the Spirit. Remember this. Discernment of God would not come from studying knowledge. Discernment of God comes from the presence of God. Soaking in the presence of God will have the glory of God upon you. When Moses comes down, his face was glowing, which means he was in the presence of God, he was changing. When that comes, you will have the discernment. Why? The glory of God is shining. You will see things in a good way. You will listen to things in a good way. You will be able to see the process of God in everyone. You will respect that. You will appreciate that. You will trust everyone in the name of the Lord. You would not presume and judge anyone. Now, to discern evil and good. Senses exercise. Let's start from the senses. How can I exercise my senses? Let's go to one by one. So now, if someone touch you, you feel the touch, you turn. Because there is a temperature change on your skin and the brain senses it. If I'm sleeping, very tired, you come and shake me, the touch does not work. What do? Take some water, sprinkle on my face, I change. Why? How come my finger could not wake this guy up, but simple water sprinkling can change? Because it's a different sensitive touch. a temperature change, like a weather change. Your body feels something is not right. You know, imagine you are a land. Suddenly, you are going through a summer season. Suddenly, winter come and touch you. No, you will get up. No, it's a refreshing season, right? Touch. If the same one slap me, I feel the pain. Hey, I told you to just touch me, slap me. That becomes attack. If someone take a knife and slash me, I start bleeding. So the touch can be at different levels to the point whereby I could get killed. Correct? Brother Clement can say, I want to touch Brother Prasi's skin so that, you know, he can come to his senses. He can take a big knife and come and touch me. Then I'm gone. No. To get a touch from the Lord is real. That is the song we sing. What is real? Life. Because there is nothing real other than life itself. Amen? When the Lord touched me, I became alive. I'm real. Everything seems to me real. Now, the touch, that is a skin gate, I'm not talking anything about physical vision, although I used a physical sign. But we are created beautifully, wonderfully. Amen? Now, eyes. How do I see my brother in Christ, sister in Christ? How do I understand God's work in their life with the eyes of Spirit of God, not my eyes? Why? My eyes will see David dancing naked and you'll be the Michal getting very angry. Why? Michal had no Spirit of God. She was looking at the eyes of Michal. If Samuel look at David dancing, Samuel would say, David, why you didn't call me? Let's dance together. Why? They were in the same Spirit of God. Eye of the Spirit. How do I perceive the process of God? Because the potter is molding everyone. Amen? Amen? If you are a bit careless, you would judge everyone. You would misunderstand people. Nobody wants to kill you. The one who sits next to you, nobody wants you to die. Everybody loves one another. But we are all going through a process of perfection. Why? Amen. All have sinned. Fall short of the glory of the Lord. You are imperfect. I'm imperfect. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm not good. You are not good. But yet the Lord has called us. We are going through change. So how we should see? I love him in Christ. I love her in Christ. I trust him in Christ. I trust her in Christ because God is working. But how do I discern? Intents. What? Intents. Why you do this? What is the fruit for you in this? What is the benefit for you in this? In that fruit, you see God. If you see God, you rejoice. If you don't see God, turn aside, do your work. I will show you how David showed this to us. Nostril gate. Smell the sweet savor, aroma of the food. That is for your physical nose. But the Bible says God can smell. Am I lying? Genesis 8. Turn your Bible. Genesis 8. I thought God is spirit. How can he have a nose to smell? The children can think. I think they will answer better than us. Genesis 8. Let's read from verse 1. And God remembered Noah. Amen? God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth and the water completely went down so that Noah could see land. That is verse 1. Go to verse 20, same chapter. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. When I saw that, if you are that animal, what would you think? You mean I survived the flood? You brought me out of the ark to kill here? What? I should have died in the flood. But that is destruction. But now it is sacrifice. Isn't it? If those clean beasts were killed in the flood, that is destruction. But God had chosen the pair. And he brought it outside. And after the flood, Noah sacrificed. Correct? I hope you are doing the same thing. Because look at verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, he didn't say it out. Then how come Moses wrote this? It says, the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Wow. Wow. The Lord says the imagination of man is evil from his youth. Amen. Is this what you will speak after the flood is subsided, after the Lord will celebrate? He simply received the sweet smell of sacrifice. He says, be careful. Your heart is so, so cunning, wicked. It will imagine, you know, it will create imagination. Illusion. Why? It will create creation in you, but you are a creator. We are in the image and likeness of him. Amen? He says, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The Lord said right? But he did not say this until he smelled the sweet savor. He was waiting for a sacrifice to come back to his senses. What senses? To remember his promises. And Noah burnt everything and sent the sweet aroma. Lord, can you hear me? Your prayers are sweet aroma in the presence of God. Amen? When we come as a living sacrifice, we burn ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Like a burning bush, not to be destroyed, but the Holy Ghost burns you in the wild fire of anointing. Then the Lord himself prays through you, and that prayer goes to him as a sweet aroma. Why? He should reach the heavenly places. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. We are seated at the footstool like the Mary. Now, God smelled the sweet aroma, right? Why he smelled it? It's because Ephesians 5:2. Let's turn our Bible to Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. What is this sweet savor? The smelling. Why? Chapter 5 verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. What? So nobody is joking. Nobody is playing with the scripture. Every single verse, every single word has an eternal plan. Amen? A divine plan. Everything was type and shadows. The Lord is beyond time. Amen. God smells sweet aroma of the clean beast. But here it says Jesus Christ himself offered himself a sacrifice for a sweet smelling savor to God. The Word glorified God and God glorified Word, and people divided both and saying, God Almighty, Son of God. Two in one. Why? False divination, false understanding cannot see the absolute understanding of God's Word. Amen. Because God is not someone easy to understand. Amen? Amen. He's simple, very plain, but not easy for men to understand. Now, this sweet smelling is also expounded in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read so that we understand how the Lord smells you today. True. He smells every one of you. He can smell your intents. He can smell your thoughts. He can smell your words. He can smell everything that is around you. He knows what you will do if he takes his hands off. He knows. Chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Wherever you go, there is the aroma of Christ that follows you. And Moses says, if your presence shall not go before me, I'm not working. Forget about it. Why? I am weak, I am nothing, I am a sinner, I will betray you, I am not faithful. Lord, your presence should lead me. I am nothing. Ark of the Lord. So when they said the presence should lead me, Abraham, Moses, at that point of time, there was no ark. Amen? Later, the Lord built ark for them. To teach a lesson, the word of God is carried on the shoulders of the creation of God. They walk. But that shoulder, my dear brethren, is chosen by Son of David. Nobody can say, this is my shoulder, iron shoulder. Those four who carried the ark, those priests, those Levites, they were born to do it. Amen? Unless we are born of spirit, unless we are born as a new man, new creation, we cannot carry the word of God. We cannot carry the word of God. We can't walk unless we agree together as one. Amen? Imagine you are carrying the ark of the Lord on your shoulder. One wants to go to right. One wants to go to left. One wants to go to reverse. One wants to simply sit. they can break the ark into multiple pieces and go different way, but God would be the first one to leave the place. Isn't it? Why? You can't divide Almighty. Now, when Kingdom of Israel, Judah was divided, they were already in the captivity of their very own kings. Nebuchadnezzar did not rule more than Manasseh. Do you know? Manasseh ruled 54 years. That was the worst kingdom ever. He is still ranked number one compared to Nebuchadnezzar. Now let's remember this, that sweet smelling savor, do not forget the Lord can smell your intents. Now, the mouth. Speak evil, gossip, expressing emotion. There are times I think, I wish I was mute so that I could not express my thought. Have you felt? I wish I was a mute. Learning silence is the most powerful gift that you can ask from God. Because the Bible says, the tongue, tell me, no man can tame. It is written. The tongue that no man can tame. Lord, the word tame is used for the beast, backsliding heifer. Yes, tongue no man can tame. Out of the mouth confession is made. Tongue no man can tame. That's why the Bible says, if someone says Jesus Christ is the Lord, they are from Holy Ghost because they cannot say it from the tongue. No man can tame. But Son of Man can circumcise your heart. Correct? Amen. The Lord goes to the root of your plant. He don't go and repair the fruit. He go and hit you at the root. Take an axe of truth. Hit you at the heart. So our heart is filled with the abundance. Then the mouth speaketh. Amen. So the Bible will stay true. The Lord would not work on your mouth. Where He will work? Here. Because this is the root. If the root is evil, everything is evil. No, the fish rots from head. People rot from heart. Now, the Lord says mouth is nothing but a manifestation of what you eat, what you drink, what you speak. No, but the mouth can also be used to breathe life. Amen. Now, let me complete this ear gate first. Yes, ear gate. Now I speak. Let's say if seven of you do not like me because we had some past, both of us, we had some fight. Whatever I speak, as if God is with you. As if you're speaking the truth. I know what you did I know what you did 2 years ago. That's it. Your ears get out shut. Why? Presumptuous is a what? Gift? No. Presumptuous is a sin. Why? Saul was persecuting church. All the apostles, what's going to happen to this man? He became a mighty apostle. Surprise. Why? They could not believe, how can a man who is persecuting the church can become the apostle of Gentiles? Correct? Possible. Why? The one who showeth mercy is beyond your mind, is beyond your understanding. Eyes of the Spirit, mouth of the Spirit, ears of the Spirit is all we need to see what the Lord is doing in our lives. Amen? But if you look at all of this, the whole head is linked to the neck. But there is no sense here. It is my only bridge to my body. If my head is location A, my body is location B, the neck is my bridge. If I cut my neck, I'm gone. It's a bridge, right? The Lord says, stiff-necked people. Why? When the senses are gone, your neck becomes stiff. Not tender. But where is heart? Below the neck. If my senses can kill my heart, then I quench my spirit, isn't it? Now, let's look at this. Perception doesn't mean anything. David was dancing, not like a king, like a servant. And his perception means nothing. But God was rejoicing for David. But Michal was angry. Not up to my reputation. Understanding is what the Lord is teaching you. What? Please go taste, vision, hear, smell, understanding. Let's keep it here. Book of Psalms says, chapter 34 verse 8. Let's turn our Bibles. Chapter 34 verse 8. What the book of Psalms says? Come and taste and see. Why should I come? Can I get it delivered? No, come. Move. Abraham. Ready to sacrifice Isaac? Yes, Lord. Come. Moses, are you ready to fellowship with me? Yes, Lord. Come. Come. What is come? move. Show me you can move your flesh and show me the victory of spirit over your flesh. Amen? The Bible ends by saying, come Lord Jesus quickly. We will tell the Lord, come Lord, but God cannot tell us come. God always tells us come. Come my people, return thou backsliding Israel. Amen? He said that, come. Now, this understanding must come from him, you know. The understanding must come from where? Come from above, the divine understanding. Now let's read book of Psalm chapter 34 verse 8. What does it say? It says, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Which means I cannot stand afar and presume God is good. He will uncover my nakedness. The Lord says, experience me. Now, this verse is not a simple exaggeration by the servant of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, let's read book of the same book, chapter 94. Let's read why he said this. Chapter 94, verse 9. Yes, verse 9. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, and that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Amen? So uprightness of heart represents uprightness in the spirit. That is only possible by the righteousness of God. Now tell me, what is the meaning of the last king of Judah? Righteousness. King Zedekiah means righteousness. What happened to King Zedekiah? He was taken as captive. We will meditate what happened to him. All the five kings, they are demonstrating a different attribute of our flesh, and the Lord showed us what he did to them. Now, let's read a few more verses so that we get this census in the right context. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 to 4. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 to 4. 1 John. Yes, brother, read for us. Verse 1 to 4.
Verse 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full.
Everything that I talked about so far, do you see where it converges? Where it's coming to an end? Fellowship. You see, chapter 1 verse 1 says, from the beginning which we have heard, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That is hearing, number 1. Number 2, which we have seen with our eyes, because eyes are planted by him. I just read Psalm 94, the Lord hath planted ears, the Lord hath planted eyes. Spiritually I am saying, not the physical ones, that will be destroyed, but the spiritual ones. And the Lord says, which we have looked upon, that is the hope of eternal glory. Because the Lord has given you faith, understanding, and our hands have handled of the word of life, which means I touched and experienced the word of God, and I served him with my hands, because the chief musicians, David says, Consider the work of my hands, O Lord, and establish the work of my hands. Because you have touch and feel and experience the word of God in our life. So touch is mentioned, hearing is mentioned, seeing is mentioned, understanding mind is mentioned. Now look at verse 2. The life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness. Shew unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. The purpose of why the Lord has given you senses. To shine. To talk about Him. Not by the knowledge you learned. Not by the notes of the doctrines you have in your note. No. By the verse 3. That which we have seen and heard. He's reminding them again. John. And he says, declare we unto you, that is speaking, mouth, that ye also may have fellowship with us. What? I mean, you did all of this to fellowship with us. Because the Bible says, if two cannot agree together, can they walk together? Cannot. So, apostle says, we have shown everything, heard, seen, understood, felt. Everything is for us to fellowship together in physically, spiritually, mentally, as a whole congregation of God Almighty. In that fellowship, the Lord would say, I smell a fantastic power of anointing of my dear children. Aroma. So they bring everything to fellowship. When we have learned to discern good and evil, you would understand the power of fellowship is the result of discernment. Why? If I misunderstand you, I won't fellowship with you, correct? Because I misunderstand you. You hurt me, I forgive you, but I won't talk to you. It's not forgiveness. No, forgiveness has become an equation. You bring 10 verses and you say, is equal to forgiveness. Oh, I should forgive. If not, I can't go to heaven. I should forgive. I can't go to heaven. I should forgive. I have no problem with you, but don't come to my funeral. I don't want to even see your face even when I die. Is it forgiveness? I was meditating how we will be in the promised land. I mean, how we will be in the promised land. What we will be doing? Sing songs unto Him in Mount Zion, dancing. If we are compromised, if our spiritual life is breached by these 5 senses, we could come completely lose our true understanding until the Lord break us into pieces and bring us back. It's going to be a painful journey to be back, come back. The Lord says, preserve it. Why? If you break it, it is going to be a painful valley. Preserve it. Now, you see what He says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. That is talking about the Word was with God and the Word was God. That's all. This English language is one of the most confusing language. You know, that is why the Lord allowed it to be the common bridge between all whole earth. So that He could still see the people who have the hunger and thirst for righteousness. Language cannot stop them, you see. If Apostle Paul comes here, he can't speak in English. He would be preaching in Hebrew. But you will hear in English. Or you will hear in different languages. Why? Language cannot stop. Now, this is what 1 John says. But what the Lord Himself say in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let's hear from the one who told us to hear. Matthew chapter 5 verse 19 to 20, my brother. Then 29 to 30. God bless you.
Matthew chapter 5, 19 to 20. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. 29:30?
Yes, 29:30. 29 twice, please.
Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. 39 again. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell.
Amen. Now, the Lord is not speaking about your body parts. No, He is your creator. He is speaking about the breaches, lack of understandings, misunderstandings, personal biases, familiarity, partiality, own understanding, own hurt. This all can become your new eye, new ear. You will be hearing in a different way. You will be seeing in a different way. Because why? There is a new addition of lack of understanding. The Lord says, cut it off. Plug it out. You can't enter promised land with this. You can't enter the heavenly realm with this. The Lord says, do not follow. It will drag you to the pit. Now, the five senses are addressed in so many beautiful angles. And the Lord finally said, if I circumcise your heart with my word, your five senses will be sanctified. But if you want to bring it, the unholy things, through the same five senses, you will lose your sanctification of your heart. The heart of Pharaoh was hardened by seeing what God was doing. Correct? Because he could not understand. He only saw. Now, let's remember these five senses. Please close it. Now, let's go to Book of Jeremiah. Now, we are ready to see what happened to the kings. Because last Sunday, the title was, what if these five senses rule me as a captive? Which means they are my five kings, correct? I can be addicted to some of the sense. I'm very sensitive. I'm very short tempered. I have this attribute, that is, I call it as familiar spirit, you know. I am from family of God, but I am struggled with familiar spirit. My brethren, there is no time for us to play with this. No time. No time. I repeat, absolutely no time. There are things the Lord can wait. There are things that we wait by ourselves. That is not grace. That is called lingering. Lot was lingering. The two angels were so angry. They pulled him and asked him to come inside. Because he was lingering, thinking, should I go or not? Maybe I will wait upon the Lord. The angel said, this is not the time for you to wait. If you know to do good, if you do not do it, it is what? Mercy? It is what? Righteousness? No. It is sin. Because the moment you know to do good, the Lord is telling you, do it now. Why? You may not see another day. That is what the Lord says, I have made you to know to do good for you. If you know, do it. Do not be the hearers of the word. Do it, because Apostle John says, we handle the word of God in our hands. What does it mean? I implemented in my life what I learned. I did it. Now, 28, let's look at this, 27, verse 12. Let's look at the beautiful and wonderful way of God's work. We remember the five kings, from Josiah to Zedekiah. Let's keep things simple. Let's go step by step. Let's focus on one king, Zedekiah, the last one, okay? Verse 12, I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Who is Zedekiah? King. He is hearing this from who? The prophet. You are telling me, showing me mercy? Am I begging for mercy to you? I am a king. Verse 13, why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, famine, pestilence? The Lord hath spoken against a nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Verse 14, therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. He said the same thing to King Zedekiah, like how God said, correct? Because the Lord knows all his kings, they fell because of false guidance, isn't it? Because of false prophets. They inquired of false prophets. Starting from who? King Saul. Starting from King Saul. He inquired of the Lord with some other prophets, and he forgot Prophet Samuel. Saul forgot the order that God set in his life. Isn't it? Now, the same thing is happening to the very last kings. And verse 15, "For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you." Verse 16, "Also I spake unto all the people and the priests, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you." Lord, what is this? The Lord considers his people as the vessels in his house. He tells them, false prophets will come and tell you, don't worry, I will redeem the vessel from Babylon to the house of Judah. And the Lord says, I'm not doing it. It's not me. It's a lie. It is good, right? It is good to hear. It is good to hear, sweet to hear. But the Lord says, fair speeches are not my speech. Look at the next verse. How it happens. Verse 21. Same chapter, verse 21. "Yea, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord." What do you mean by remain? Residue, remnant, stayed, stood together, remain in the house of the Lord. What happens? He says, "And in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem." Tell them, verse 22, "They shall be carried to Babylon," don't worry, "and there shall be they until the day that I will visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Wait for my salvation." In that captivity, you will grow in your faith. The Lord has a plan. Amen? In all our sufferings, in all our unanswered prayers, this world should come to your rescue. Believe the Lord is in complete control of your life. He is not someone who rejoices in your pain. No, that is not God whom you serve. He loves you more than you can think of. But when He deals with you, obey. When He blesses us with beautiful experiences of pain, long sufferings, everything, there is growth, there is perfection, there is pruning. Because He chastens us. Amen? Something is wrong with us. Something is always wrong with us. Because we are not righteous, He is righteous. Something that is unholy about us, because we are not holy, He is holy. And the Lord says, be ye holy, be ye righteous. Why? I can make you. Now, in this, all the words, do you see anything wrong? No, right? But yet Zedekiah wanted to kill Jeremiah. Why? He could not believe it. There is no way. There is no way. It's not possible. Why? He was not looking for the word of God. He was looking for a word of consolation, word of encouragement, word of some positivity. Now, what do you call fairy tale ending? Something that is, out of nowhere. But the Lord is not about making us happy in our flesh. Now, this is what 27, right? Now, 28 is an example that is quite shocking. I was shocked for a while. It took me some time to go to next chapter. It's very, very shocking, and you could feel the fear of God from 28. So, Brother Clement, read for us from chapter 28, verse 1 to 11. Every one of us, remember what I said. You are the bride of Christ. Reflect ourselves in these 11 verses. Yes, brother, please go on.
Jeremiah 28, verse 1 to 11. "And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was in Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, God Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Joachim, king of Judah, and all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of prophets comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus said the Lord, Even so, I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the necks of all the nations within the space of 2 full years.
Mm.
And the prophet Jeremiah went his way.
Now, there is a competition between Hananiah and Jeremiah. Correct? The Lord sent in 27, people will rise against you by giving you fair speeches, by giving you very sweet speeches. They will tell that they came in my name, but I did not send them. The Lord washed his hands. Now, but he has given us a warning, which is the word of God. He has given us a discernment, which is the word of God. He has given us a shield, power, armor, which is the word of God. It is written. Amen. In the next chapter, Hananiah comes. Even after hearing all that Jeremiah said, Hananiah thinks Jeremiah was wrong. God is not with him because God is full of love and mercy. There is no way God will speak like that. My God will not speak like that. So Hananiah creating his own understanding, and not just that, since the Lord spoke it, the Lord will also uncover an example. He tells the people of Israel, do not offer any strange fire to me. Don't come with me with any incense that is strange to me. He said that, right? But people will not remember, right? He should show an example. If the government says, don't litter, nobody will listen. Pay a penalty, you will remember. Correct? Because we people are more scared of penalty more than doing the thing for good in flesh. But the more we become spiritual, that discipline, that goodness will become your way of life. Even if there is no law, you will obey to the word of God. Because word of God is the most beautiful law that has been ever written. It is full of life. Now the Lord says, someone will come. Jeremiah is well prepared. Why? The Lord spoke, I will make thee, what he said, a different city, a wall against all of them. Who? My very own children. Lord, what is it? He says it is for a good reason. Look at verse 10. Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. My brethren, you know how serious it is? Who told Jeremiah to make the bonds and yoke? God. Who told Jeremiah to put the bonds and yoke on his neck? God. Correct? Now let's stop it here. Who called Samuel to be the prophet? Eli? No. Eli is not the creator. Prophet Eli. In my language, I call him Eli. Or the priest Eli. Priest Eli. He is not the creator of Samuel. God called Samuel. But what happened later on? Irrespective of the warning, the two sons of Aaron burned to death. The two sons of prophet priest Eli died in battle. Eli went, fell backward, broke his neck. What? Broke his neck. Died. Then, King Saul, he touched the garment of prophet Samuel, which was put on him spiritually by God, because God called him, clothed him as his prophet. Amen. The Bible says, do not touch my what? Anointed. Why? Who is the anointed? Jesus Christ. Why? He is the anointed. The Christ. But there are so many Christs. Because Christ means simple anointing. Like our life. It's also called life. But we are nothing but people who are dying. The life is Christ. He is life. The life was hid in Christ. Amen? The true anointing is with Him. He is the anointing. Now the Lord says, Prophet Samuel, your garment was touched by King Saul. Oh, yes, Lord. I have no complaints. Don't do anything to Saul. He is my friend. Okay, no, don't worry. I will divide the entire kingdom. What? The clothes of Prophet Samuel rent. The entire kingdom was rent. Why? God called him to be the prophet of the generation. He was more important than the kings. Do you see? The prophet of God is way more powerful and important than kings of people. But people don't see. Why? King Saul rent his clothes. That's it. That is Prophet Samuel, King Saul. Now let's come to Hananiah, Jeremiah. No one should touch the bonds and yoke on the neck of Jeremiah. Why? It was put by who? God, correct? So what he did, verse 11, Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people saying, thus saith the Lord. Which Lord? Which Lord? Thus saith the Lord. Whose Lord? God of Abraham or God of Hananiah? He says, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. So don't worry. He even gave expiry date to the Lord. 2 full years. There is no 2 full years that I have seen in scripture. It's all 3 years. You could see even the number was wrong. Correct? In 3rd year, you will go downward to bear fruit upward. And that's what happens to people of Israel. That is prophecy by Prophet Isaiah. But he says 2 full years he will return. But the Lord says 70 years. Amen? I just read, right? 70 years. You will not return to the place. And Hananiah says, no, don't worry. I can fast forward the time. 2 years. Easy. How? He shows a very charismatic, very, you know, enchanting action. Taking the yokes and bonds from Jeremiah, bring it down, destroy it, and telling all the people, the Lord is with me, thus saith the Lord. The same way I did to this false prophet, the Lord will, you know, bring down King Nebuchadnezzar. If we are all the Jews following David, Solomon, we will celebrate Hananiah. Hananiah, you are the next Moses, man. Why? You did so many things, like striking the rock, dividing sea. It looks very grandeur in nature. Jeremiah stood still, did nothing. Jesus stood still when they placed the crown of thorns on his head. Did nothing. Why? He was already dead in Garden of Gethsemane when he said, let thy will be done. And the word of God knows the Father's will. Jeremiah, he knows. The moment the Lord said, I am calling you to serve me, Jeremiah knows, my life is in your hands. I won't defend myself. Do you think Stephen could not defend himself? The Bible says he was filled with Holy Ghost. Amen? If he said, Lord, I just want to see the ashes of those who are around me, they'll be ashes. Correct? Because the Bible says, what if the apostles had purpose to exercise their power? They didn't. They did the right power, which is the speaking the gospel boldly by the power of Holy Ghost. Not the power of bringing down the fire from heaven. That is Old Testament, no? Times of Elijah. But it will come again, that is the two witnesses later. But in between, we are in the dispensation of grace. Amen? Now see what happens here. Verse 12 to... Please, brother, please continue. Verse 12 to... Yes. Verse 12 to 17.
12 to 17. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make these people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'll cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month.
Same year, seventh month. I'll tell you why the Lord gave him a timeline. Why? He gave the Lord a timeline. Whatever that went out, the Lord will recompense it back. He said within 2 years, right? The Lord said within this year. Isn't it? In what way you weigh one another, the Lord says, I will weigh in the same manner. Isn't it? Why? He is the judge. Not you, not me, not any of us. And he tells Prophet Ananiah, this year, you will die. Seventh month, he died. He struck Nabal. Tenth day, he died. He struck the child of David. Seventh day, he died. Why? That is a time of test for those around, so that everybody can grow in faith. He was teaching a lesson. He is not destroying people. Amen? Now, that Huzza, who wanted to go and catch the falling ark, wanted to play a hero, he was struck. Ask yourself, can the righteous hand of God, can it strike a righteous child of God? One single example in scripture. All the righteous people of God were killed by unrighteous actions of people. Wrath of man worketh not to righteousness of God. Abel was killed by Cain, not by Adam. All of them, Stephen was killed by people who are so angry. But when the Bible said the Lord struck, which means there was a disobedience committed, which was not written in the scripture. Though the Lord did not give a command that the oxen will stumble, you will catch. The Lord did not say it. But our mind will imagine we can do it. But the Lord said, I did not say it. But you might have forgot. He can't forget. He can't forget. He has a plan in everything. Amen. He taught a lesson from that example. That doesn't mean that people are evil. Saul is not evil. People are not evil. We are all going through a process of being skeptical at some time, being vessel of honor sometime, vessel of dishonor sometime, vessel of mercy, vessel of unfaithfulness. We are all going through ups and downs. But the Lord is teaching a lesson to all of us that I am the absolute. Amen. Now let's continue what happens here in chapter 29. Now we are coming back to the chapter that we started, 29, we will read from verse 20. Now you will understand what is happening to Zedekiah. Because I have set the context straight. Zedekiah, Hananiah, Jeremiah. Chapter 29, verse 20 to 23, brother, first. 20 to 23.
Verse 20. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. All you of the captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Hodiah, and Zedekiah, the son of Messaniah, who prophesy a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And because of them, a curse shall be taken up by all the captivity of Judah who are in Babylon, saying, the Lord will make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Because they have done disgraceful things in Israel, have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Indeed, I know, and I am a witness, says the Lord.
The last verse, it is quite a serious warning. The Lord says, indeed, I know, okay, I'm a witness. Witness? The Lord says, I know, I'm a witness. What is the introduction of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation? The true and faithful witness. Chapter 1. Apostle John sees a mighty revelation of how the appearance of glorified Jesus Christ, he fell as dead. Then when he see him, he says, the true and faithful witness. And here in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says, indeed, I'm a witness to what happened. Correct? Now in the same chapter, similar to Hananiah, there was one more person called Shemaiah. I will just read his life in the last two verses. Verse 31. Verse 30. Same chapter, verse 30. 29, verse 30. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, Jeremiah, saying, sent to all them of the captivity, saying, Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah had prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie, he is giving all the facts check. Then verse 32, Therefore thus saith the Lord, because I am righteous, I am full of love and mercy, I do what is good, he says, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite, and his seed, Lord, just stop with Nehemiah, just stop with him. He says, and his seed, I'll tell you why. He shall not have a man to dwell among his people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he had taught, what? Rebellion against the Lord. Sins, iniquities against the Lord are forgiven. But rebellion against the Lord, what it is? What it is? What is this rebellion? Why Lucifer fell? Why one third of his army fell together with him? Why Korah fell? Why people, about 250 people also fell with him? Which means, sowing discord, the seed of discord, the Lord says, I will not let the seed to nurture. I will make it perish. Why? He says, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed, because that is a spiritual type of sowing discord among the people of God by false prophecy. Book of Proverbs says the Lord hates things, right? The last one is what? Sowing discord among the brethren, children of God. Why? The Lord says that is not ignorance. That is not lack of understanding. That is not childish act. The Lord says, you know exactly what you're doing. No one can ignorantly sow discord unless you are well prepared, well established in your heart. And the Lord says, I hate it. He showed mercy on all our weaknesses. Because in our senses, we are weak. We are struggling with our eyes, our ears, our desire in the flesh. The Lord says, sins, iniquities, I will forgive and wash. Because I know you are weak. But the Lord says, false prophecy is a rebellion against God. And he says, I will make sure the seed will not exist. Because he will uproot the tare. Correct? Now you see, chapter 32. Let's go to chapter 32. We are progressing towards the life of Zedekiah is called to be the life of righteousness, because his meaning is righteousness. Amen. Please remember this. The five kings, I'm not writing their name, I'm writing the meaning of their names. The first king from Jeremiah's time, Josiah. It means God heals, God supports. And the second one, the son of Josiah, Jehoiaz, hold, seize, grasp. The Lord is holding or seizing you as a captive. Raise, stand up. The third king. Fourth one, establish, set up right. Jehoiachin, this is Jehoiakim. And the fifth one, Zedekiah, righteousness. And that is why the fifth king is taking so much space in the book of Jeremiah, not other kings. Now you read about the king. Chapter 32, please brother, verse 1 to 5. Verse 1 to 5.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house.
Amen.
For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Why do you prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape from the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him face to face, and see him eye to eye. Then he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, says the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not succeed.
Yes, verse 5.
Any more?
Okay. So now, let's read verse 5. He shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall be he until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. But the Lord told Joshua, No man shall stand against you. And now the Lord tells Zedekiah, you will fight for your life, but you will not prosper. This is 32. Now, in between, so many things happen between the Lord and Jeremiah, but I want to focus on the essence of the life of Zedekiah, that is chapter 38. Let's turn our Bibles to chapter 38. The fruit of righteousness sown in what? Peace. Amen. Sown in peace. Remember this as we meditate on righteousness now. Chapter 38, verse 6. Verse 5. 38, verse 5. Then Zedekiah, the king, said, behold, he is in your hand. Who is that? Jeremiah. For the king is not he that can do anything against you. So Jeremiah is handed over. What happens? Verse 6. Then took they, who? The princes. They took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water. But so Jeremiah sunk in that. What a cunning, evil way of putting someone in prison. Throwing Daniel with company of lions. Throwing Jeremiah, you know, with something that he will sink and die. No water. It's not prison. It's a prison of death. They want him to die. Now, please read, brother, 32 and 38. Read from verse 7 to 14. I want all of us to listen to this new character called Ebed-Melech.
Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon.
Amen.
When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no bread in the city, no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from there here 30 men with you, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the man with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took from there old clothes and old rags, and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes. And Jeremiah did so. So they put Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the courts in the prison.
Then King Zedekiah sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry, that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing and hide nothing from me. So now, there was a petition made that Jeremiah is dying, and that petition was made by a Jew, a Benjamite, an Ethiopian called Ebed-Melech. We should remember the name Abimelech, King Abimelech. So it's easy. Ebed-Melech. He is pleading for the life of Prophet Jeremiah. He was an Ethiopian, not a Jew, not from Anathoth, not from Judah, not from Benjamin, not from Israel. No, an Ethiopian pleading for the life of Jeremiah. He went and saved Jeremiah. Can Jeremiah say, I'm a prophet of God. I will only wait for God's hand to come and lift me up. No. There was a beautiful way of understanding that Jeremiah was keep on demonstrating. That he understood all that good comes to me is from God. He was humbly accepting, receiving. Blessed is he who receives, not just to give. He was receiving the blessed work of the Lord's hand. Even from an Ethiopian. He had nothing that is in his heart that is like a graven image. You should see what's happening to Jeremiah. Then he was moved back to the courts in the prison. Correct? That is 38. Now you see what happens after here. Because King Zedekiah is telling Jeremiah, don't hide anything from me. Okay? Then in the same chapter, I will read this. Verse 24 says, 38 chapter, verse 24 says, then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Let's make a deal, man. He says, let no man know about this, the words you spoke, and thou shalt not die. If the conversation is like, if I am King Zedekiah, if Clement is Prophet Jeremiah, he tells me, if you go to Babylon, you will live. If you do not go, you will die. I tell Clement, I'm a king. Whatever you said, keep it between us. If you tell someone, you will die. I will kill you. Is it a battle? Jeremiah says, thou shalt not die. King says, thou shalt not die. As if King Zedekiah is having power over Jeremiah. Impossible. Because Jeremiah is the vessel of God. But Jeremiah was not arguing. Jeremiah was not fighting. He was not frustrated. He obeyed the king. Do you know that? He respected the king for whom he is, because the Lord said the king. Amen? Look at the way of life of Jeremiah. It is so beautiful. Verse 27, the same chapter. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. I'll tell you why. The Lord is the one who placed the Pharaoh above Joseph. Amen? The Lord is the one who placed Nebuchadnezzar placed above Israel. Amen? The Judah. He is the one who is having preeminence in your life. If the Lord put you in a place where you listen, we listen. Not everything is a battleground. Amen? Jeremiah knows. He did what the king commanded. Why? He is still under the king Zedekiah. Whether he is good or evil, there is one king above him. The one who placed him in between. Do you understand? Because of their obedience, what happened? So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. Hallelujah. That is why he showed the five senses, right? Perception is not understanding, not understanding. Because the matter was not perceived, because the prophet, he shut his mouth. Did not say everything. Like how King Saul did not tell his calling to the people around. He didn't share everything. He chose what to share. Now, verse 28. Because of that, Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison. Look at this. Until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. In the midst of being a prophet of God, he was also a servant of Judah. In the midst of being the vessel of God, he was also a humble servant to the king of Judah. He was not rebelling against anything. He was willing to be perished, but yet the Lord kept him alive. Life of Jeremiah, correct? Now look what happens after this. Chapter 39, verse 1 to 3. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. This time he came all in. The previous time he was playing the game properly. Because he came three times. This is the third time, right? He says, and in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. Do you know why the time is mentioned very clearly? The Lord says, I am that I am. He is in control. The time is mentioned. This month, this day. Because he taught us, right? Hananiah, you will die this year, seventh month. He died. Now, verse 3 says, and all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarechim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. We don't know these people, but the names are mentioned because the Lord says he's very precise. He's naming the princes, you know, of the king of Babylon. Now the fate of Zedekiah is unfolded. Verse 4. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them and all the men afar, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden. Now look at the gate. By the gate betwixt, between the two walls. And he went out of the way of the plain. So he was trying to escape. Jeremiah was also trying to escape, but he was caught in the Benjamin gate. But Zedekiah is also escaping some other gate that we are not aware of. And verse 5 says, the Chaldeans' army pursued after them, overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. Remember the name Jericho? City of destruction. The prophets of Jericho, people of discouragement, to take Elisha from following Elijah. They said, your master is going to die. Don't you know? Elisha says, hold your peace. I know what's happening. And he says, in verse 5 says, they took him and they brought him to the king Nebuchadnezzar, right? But look at verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Do not imagine this in terms of father witnessing children dying. No. Sons represents the thing that you bring forth. The fruits of your life. The actions of your life. The words of your mouth. Whatever that you bring forth spiritually. No, let's bring it upon us. It says, also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Nobles of Judah. The nobles of Tekoites, they did not put their work in the building of the wall of Jerusalem during the time of Nehemiah. Remember, they were called nobles of Tekoites because they called themselves as noble, holy, righteous, but they could not do the work of the Lord. They could not bend their neck. And the Lord single-handedly separated them by saying, they are nobles, not my children, nobles. And here there is a separate group of people. They were also very righteous, overly righteous, nobles of Judah, and they were slain by king of Babylon. Pharisees, Sadducees of the time of Jesus Christ, they were also very much overly righteous, overly holy in their sight. Now verse 7 says, He put out Zedekiah's eyes. Why? Why such a cruel act? Jesus Christ, he put eyes for those who were asking for his healing. Which was addressed here? Flesh? Is it? God has no pleasure in flesh. If the Lord granted the eyes for you to see his love, you are spiritually seeing him. Amen? If I cannot see his will, I can't see his love in my life, I can't see his will in my life, I'm not seeing anything. Now, the worldly king took the eyes of the king of Judah. What happened here? And bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. The same bonds and yokes were in the necks of Jeremiah to warn the people. But Hananiah came and broke it, saying that, don't worry, it won't happen. Zedekiah, my name is Hananiah, prophet of God. It won't happen, forget it, 2 years. Hananiah died, and the bond came to Zedekiah's neck now. Correct? The bond came to Zedekiah's neck. And verse 8 says, the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of people with fire. Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem break down. The title of today's sermon, the fall of Jerusalem, the captivity of Judah. Why? Not by the army of Chaldeans. Not by the army of Babylon. The kings of Judah lost their senses to God. They could not see. They could not hear. They could not speak. They could not understand. And in their stiffness, they could not overcome. Now, verse 10:9 says, then Nebuzaradan, no, one of the princes who was the captain of the guard carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city. Let's look at it very closely. And those that fell away and fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. Verse 10 says, but Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left off the poor of the people which had nothing. Blessed are those who are poor in. You see how beautiful the scripture is. He actually left them who are poor, had nothing. And the Lord tells all of us, you are nothing without me. Amen? We need him. We are needy people. We need his help, right? Look at the next one. In the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. What? You plucked the eyes of the king? And you killed the people who are nobles, and you separated the poor, and you gave them vineyards, and you gave them a new lease of life. Yes, And Jesus says, we should be the poorest people of the world because we are rich in His kingdom. Amen? Because we need Him. Not the beggars. Why? The Bible says, children of God lack nothing in wilderness. His grace is sufficient to thee. He is a great provider. Amen? But we are in need of Him. Without Him, we are poor. We are in need of His Spirit. Now, the end of Zedekiah is mentioned, but I want you to see verse 14. My brethren, look at verse 14. Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian, right? Who is this Nebuzaradan? A Babylonian. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him where? Carry him home. Finally, the prisoner, Jeremiah, is released not by king of Judah, not by prince of Judah, not by men of Anathoth, but by a Babylonian captain. He was released, well treated, respected, appreciated by a Gentile. He was released, and the Lord showed mercy to Gentiles through Apostle Paul, isn't it? Why? All that breathe, it praises the Lord. We are the creation of God. He has no partiality. God is no respecter of persons. Jeremiah was released by a Gentile, not by his very own people. Now, he dwelt among the people. Amen? That is the life of Jeremiah. Now, as we close, chapter 52. As we close. Let's all rise. We stand and read these verses. Now, among the five kings, you see, some died, some taken as captive. Jehoahaz died in Egypt. But there is this fourth king, the lucky charm one, Jehoiachin. His name means established, set up right. Because it's crooked, the Lord is setting up right, right? But in the midst of all of this, he did not die. He was in the prison. And let's see what happens to this man. Chapter 52, verse 31. And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 5th and 12th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. Jeremiah out of prison. By who? A Babylonian captain, under the command of the king. Now, Jehoiachin also out of the prison. Verse 32 says, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. He was honored, and changed his prison garments. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was a prisoner behind the prison gate. But when the appointed time comes, his prison garments were changed. And he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. Which means, similar to all the days of Jehoiada, King Joash was good. All the days of this king, the Lord allowed him to live. Verse 34, and for his diet, that is a diet. There was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion until the day of his death, until the day, all the days of his life. My brethren, have you all received the portion of his faith? Amen. We are all the breads of life because he is the bread of life. He has broken himself for our salvation. We received him. Amen. We are all part of him. Something is in us. Every one of us are unique, beautiful, wonderful. No one is lesser, no one is greater in the sight of God. Amen? But there is this anointing that flows from top to down. That anointing is greater than all. So may the Lord bless us as we continue in our walk with the Holy Spirit. Let's all remember, the five kings and our five senses should not be the reason of our fall. The new city, Holy Jerusalem, should not be the reason of our captivity, the bride of Judah. Who is the line of Judah? Your groom, my groom. The line of Judah is coming. The bride should not be a captivity of flesh. We should be in the liberty of the Spirit. We should not fall, because there comes a fall away. Amen? Why the falling away is happening? People want to choose one of the senses and go with it. May the Lord bless us that we hold on to Him, that we seek His righteousness. God bless you all. Shalom. And we thank the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day in our lives. The Lord who had planted the ear, the Lord who had planted the eye, the Lord who granted us the mind, our body, our life, our soul, our spirit, Lord, we humbly surrender at thy feet. Come what may, day or night, life or death, liberty or captivity, as long as your presence is with us, we are victorious in the name of the Lord. As long as, O Lord, your spirit is upon us, we are, O Lord, safe and sound in the strong tower of your name. Bless us, Lord, to humbly follow you, to closely fellowship with you, because, O Lord, we are all created to fellowship with you as one congregation of God. In Jesus Christ's name, we all pray that the Lord shall deliver us from the presence of our flesh, from the presence of our past, from the presence of our hurt and pain, from the presence of our sickness, from the presence of our own understanding, from the presence of our pride, lust, arrogance. The love of money is the root of evil. Lord, we pray, deliver us from all the prisons, and may the bonds and may the chains be loosened and the foundations of shaken, because, O Lord, the foundation of God will never be shaken. In Jesus Christ's name, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all, and shalom. The Lord bless you all.